Today's podcast is brought to you by Audible.com. Get a free audiobook download at www.audibletrial.com/FTSW. Over 100,000 titles to choose from for your iPhone, Android, Kindle, or MP3 player.
Come to Air Temple Island, the new home.
I'm the Avatar. You gotta chill with it.
You're the Avatar, and I'm an idiot.
You're a firebender. Boil it yourself.
Go away, Mako.
Don't worry. I will protect you, my feeble turtle duck.
I will make no such promises.
Bolin's got some moves, huh?
You amuse me. I will make you mine.
You shall meet again soon, beautiful woman.
I can't wait to get started. Yes! Finally!
Hello and welcome to From the Spirit World, a legendary Avatar The Last Airbender and the Legend of Korra podcast for DongBlueFang.net. I am your main host, Dylan, and today I'm joined by Sam.
Hello.
Delaney.
Hello.
And Britt.
Why do I always have to go last?
I don't think you're
always
last.
Why do I always have to go first?
I read the order you were on the Skype
call,
okay?
So
today we'll be discussing lists of Korra things, which is, I had a week to think about it, and that was still the best name I came up with. Basically, I asked all of our co-hosts and me to prepare three lists for us to discuss almost podcast.
And only three of us replied.
Yeah, well, so we have top five Korra episodes, top five favorite Korra characters, and then a custom top 10 list of your choice related to Korra. So I think this is like an interesting time to discuss some of these topics, even if like favorite characters is pretty basic. I think a lot, our perceptions of a lot of these characters have changed after book two. And episodes, I'm interested to see how many book two versus book one episodes make the list, because it's a cumulative list of both seasons of Korra. And then I think the custom top 10 list could be very good. No one listened back then, but this is a Korra version of Podcast 50, which we did.
I was on that podcast.
Like 4 years ago, so.
Wow, Sam.
Yeah, Sam
so
was.
I was on it too.
Oh, wow. What a surprise. Okay. Anyway.
Podcast, but...
We are still weekly for 2 more weeks after this, and then we'll see. I don't know what we're doing after that. Come join us on the forums at DongWuFang.net/forums, and you can discuss our lists, post your own list for these versions, and generally talk about Korra during the off season when you probably have no one else to talk about it with. And follow us on Tumblr and Twitter at DongWuFang, and email us, Dylan, at DongWuFang.net. And the podcast website is DongWuFang.net/podcast. Next week, I don't know what we're discussing, but we will be having a podcast next
You've
week.
You've been saying that.
No, I said at the end of last one what we'd be doing this week. News.
Yeah, it was supposed to be a surprise. And he was like, oh,
yeah, no. That was like, no. Okay. Jeremy Zuckerman posted a track from the book two finale on like SoundCloud or something, and Brian posted it on his Tumblr. We reblogged it, so you can check it out at dongfang.tumblr.com. It's pretty good. It's from when Jinora pulled her Deus Ex Machina stuff that was playing in the background. It's pretty cool. Definitely want a book two soundtrack. Hopefully this summer, like it was last summer. Yeah, so that's really
another piece of news. No, I found out in the Korra season one finale, like when the last shots runs on Korra's face, she has two chins.
I don't think that's news.
that is news, to me.
Yeah, check out I don't know, whatever, wherever you posted that, Sam, one of your Tumblrs. Yeah.
One of my many Tumblrs.
Yes, yeah, for that revelation. Anyway.
Still follows every Tumblr I have.
That's very good information they didn't know. Let's get to these lists. I think what we're going to start with is characters. So for the two lists that we all have in common, we're going to start at the bottom and work our way up to the top. I'll be like, you're five. Let's all of our, give our number five. And then we can do that and work up to one. For a custom list, obviously, it's just going to be you. So let's start with honorable mentions for our favorite characters. This is for all of Korra, but just Korra, not Avatar. And you didn't have to do honorable mentions, but I guess I will start with this. My honorable mentions were Eska and Bolin. So Bolin, after book one, would have been at least three on my list. But he was not handled very well in book two, and I didn't find him very sympathetic, and he's dropped considerably, which I think is interesting. And Eska is a tricky one. She was my five originally, but then I moved her down because of the whole jealous girlfriend stuff they pulled with her at the beginning of the season. Overall, I think she's a good character, but I don't know if she's good enough to make the top five. Who else had honorable mentions?
I'll have some.
Okay.
Let's say Juan. Steve Young. You know, I just like Steve Young a lot. Juan's okay.
Okay.
His voice actor.
Yeah. I like
her. Well, Eska too. Like, I really like Aubrey Plaza's, like, voice acting.
Yeah.
For Eska, but you know, she just didn't really get too much visibility or, like, character development at all. Didn't see her. We're probably never going to see her again.
Yeah.
Sad.
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 I think that's mine.
Okay. Delaney or Britt?
One.
Okay, Britt.
I have one. Pema.
Pema. Interesting.
I like her. She's, like...
She was close on mine, but because she wasn't really in season two, I couldn't put her on my honorable mentions.
Yeah. Well, for season one and two, you know, the little things where she shows up, she's just like the little sprinkle of sunshine.
Her facial expressions are the best.
She's going to be me in the future, so.
That's good. Delaney.
I have three.
Three honorable mentions, okay.
I have Tenzin, because him being awkward is my favorite.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it's highly entertaining. Rava. Rava almost made the top five, but, like, she's
See,
cool.
Does Rava do anything, though?
No.
She's in the teapot.
I mean, well, I just like her voice.
That is, like, pretty much why the Avatar is the Avatar, so, you know, she's important.
She kind of is the Avatar. Like, they're kind of one and the same. But, and then I have Boomy, because he was awesome.
Okay.
Disappointments. Aang's kids, because they were dumb.
Yeah, yes, I was not the biggest fan of them this season.
Three idiots.
Okay.
They have room to improve.
Let's do top five, starting at five. My number five is Vatu, because Vatu's the greatest. And
evil laughter.
The reason he's the greatest is because he's the most over-the-top, maniacal, humorous villain, and he... brings light to the awfulness that was Unalaq this season.
Yes.
Yeah.
He was a Disney villain, and I do quite like him.
Yes.
So
he's higher up in my list. That's how much I love him.
Sam, who is your five?
My five was Jenora.
Ooh, pretty low.
I'm sorry.
I think you just personally attacked Dylan. Like,
you personally attacked me as well. No, I don't think we can be friends anymore.
I put Jenora there because she's cool, but like I really like my headcanon for her. I think my headcanon is really cool for her, and thus that's why she is number five. Because
not because of anything she actually did on the show, just because of the headcanon.
Yeah.
Okay.
No, you should hear.
I've heard this headcanon.
You should hear why my number one is my number one.
Okay. Well. Okay. We'll hear that then.
That's pretty much all headcanon.
Okay. Britt, who is your five?
Tenzin.
Well, okay, why do you like Tenzin?
Because he's, as Delaney says, he's hilarious. Just like his awkwardness. But I like that he is an older adult character that actually has a story arc as like a person that shows that you grow throughout your life. And I think he like swallows some prides and emits some things you don't really get from older characters a lot in TV shows. I like that he was not stagnant and that he moved and changed.
Cool.
Delaney. And he helps Korra.
Yeah.
He does help Korra. That is factually accurate. Delaney, who is your five?
My five is Juan.
Lots of Juan love. Interesting.
Like, Juan was going to be higher up in my list, and then I suddenly remembered characters like Jenora, and I was like, what am I doing with my life?
How could you forget?
I don't know. But I really liked Juan. Like, he was really, like, and of course, I really liked his episodes, so that's... factors into it. I don't know. He's an interesting character, and he wasn't what I was expecting.
Like, is expecting to like or expecting to exist?
Just, he wasn't like he when we heard that we were going to see the first Avatar. He was not what I. That's not. This isn't what I imagined.
Yeah, it's interesting the direction they went with him.
Like, see, I really enjoyed it.
Yeah, the tricksy, like humorous kind of side.
And him being a ninja, like okay, Juan, just be a ninja.
Just be a ninja, okay.
He was number one.
I do like what they did with Juan. I could.
They didn't make as many puns as they should have.
I guess not. Apparently,
they make zero puns.
Allie's gonna get mad that you said that without mentioning her. But okay.
The Allie's Tumblr is number one.
That's
by
good.
The way.
Okay, so now she's not anymore. Okay, number four. My number four is Aman.
Ooh.
It's kind of easy to forget about Amon, considering he didn't exist.
Oh, I would add him to the
list. I was like, I forgot.
Yeah, no amending the list. Lists are final. No, you can change it if you want.
I've been amending them like while we've been talking. I'm like, oh god, I forgot everybody.
Amon is made book one interesting. Like, if you put a Unalaq in instead of Amon, book one is awful. It is just really awful because the difference between Amon, who's like a really interesting villain, even though in the finale they completely drop the ball with him, it doesn't change the fact that for 10 episodes or whatever, he was very interesting and very creepy and very well done, and Unalaq was awful. And seeing an awful villain compared to a really good villain just really emphasizes to me how good and how good Amon was, how much he really made that season. Sam, who is your four?
My four is Asami.
Asami. Why? Only four? That's surprising.
Oh, why is Rudy knocking on me all the
time? I think your choice is fabulous. There's
too many characters.
There are a lot of characters.
Yes.
Why do you like Asami?
I don't know. She's Asami, dude.
That's factually accurate.
I feel like she's pretty much one of the best characters on the show. Like, she's really well done. Maybe not so much in season two, but I feel like she has like a lot of depth,
mm-hmm.
and I like that. Also, I noticed the other day that Mel and Asami look exactly alike.
I don't think that's true.
I do. They both wear purple eyeshadow.
Yeah, they both wear purple eyeshadow. And they both have like fab hair. And they both have green eyes. So
obviously they're the same person.
They are the same person.
Okay, I see that. You've enlightened me now to that fact. Britt, who is your four?
My four was Bolin.
Bolin, okay.
Yes. I actually liked his character arc because he wasn't in a place where he was like down and they sort of had to break him and make him go to a dark place before they could rise him back up. So I liked his arc. I thought it was good that we got to see him grow and change, even if it was not always for the better.
Yep. Cool. Okay. I'm sure we'll get back to Bolin and discuss it.
Yeah.
Delaney, who is your four?
My four is Vatu. He was higher up until I remembered Jenora. Yes, Vatu. Vatu was my number three a minute ago, okay? Like, Vatu's
the greatest. He really is.
Correct? Like, it's like, I get he's not even really a good villain, but like, I mean, first of all, he's better than Unalaq. That's not saying much. But like, pure entertainment value. Vatu is the best.
Yeah, I do think they also, like, his function isn't bad in the story. Like, if he was supposed to be the primary villain of the season, it would be bad that we're laughing at him. But considering he's just off to the side, it's
he's
perfectly
just some,
acceptable.
Like, big black kite thing that laughs.
He is a kite, yeah.
Like, when you think about it, like, for him to be the incarnate of chaos and destruction, like, he couldn't be any other way. Like, this is the perfect incarnate of, like, chaos. It's hilarious.
Yeah, I agree. Okay, let's move to three. I think my three is not going to appear on any of your lists. My three is Iki. Is super adorable. Iki. She's the greatest. And I thought I could change Iki and Amon, but the problem is she wasn't like in book two at all. But in book one, she had more of a role than Jenora.
No, she was in book two. She had the bison.
Oh, that yes. The okay, so she, that's head. True.
Did you forget
okay.
the tea party?
She had one big scene. She had one scene. Mm-hmm. Okay, so that solidifies her as three, because that scene is amazing.
Yeah.
With the baby sky bison. And then she has the hissing anime effect in book one. And just generally hilarious. And she also has like the when giving Korra love advice, like her line's really good too. There. She's just a really good side character.
She has that facial expression game. Like, it's stars. Great.
She's so smiley and happy. And
in your Moonlight Punch.
She makes an appearance in one of my lists, for the record. We all love Iki.
That's good. I did mentally block out episodes 2 to 4, 2 to 5. So now that I remember the tea party scene. that scene is just so good. And her voice actress, Darcy something. Yeah, it does really good in... not seen. Okay.
I hope they do the Hey Arnold thing where they just have like the kids voice them all the time. You know, the voice of Helga was the same voice of Helga the whole entire time.
Yeah.
On Hey Arnold. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway.
Mm-hmm. I don't think Korra will go on long enough that they'll have to change voice actors.
Shush.
Mm-hmm. Okay, that's a thank you for shushing me. Sam, speaking of you, who is your number three?
My number three is Varric.
Ah, okay, yeah.
I think Varric was like, I was so excited for him.
Yeah, you're big on the guy he's based on too.
Yeah, Howard Hughes.
Yeah.
Well, I think like his sexism stuff aside, but you shouldn't put that. But just like putting it off of this discussion, I think he's like really compelling as like the sort of antagonist. Mm-hmm. And he's just really like he's really funny, and his voice actor did such a good job. And like, he's probably the best part of season two. Like if he wasn't in season two, I would just like stop watching the show probably.
Yeah, I think if I said this was our favorite characters, I think if this was top characters, I think Varric would be on there.
He's still my favorite.
No, he's allowed. No, favorite's personal opinion, so I'm not obviously not blaming you. I'm just saying, like, for me, like, the sexism stuff, like, completely made him not able to be on this list, I guess. Also, I think they did not handle him great towards the end of the season. Like, he could have been so much more than what he did. Mm-hmm. But that being said, I agree. He basically made book two, at the very least, in the beginning.
Yes.
And he's just, John Michael Logan's just incredible job voicing him, and yeah, I mean, I hope he comes back, but he probably won't.
I mean, you can think that a character's interesting, but not think they're a good person.
Yeah, and I think
kind
with,
of what I think with, Varric is.
Yeah, like, I think with Varric, the sexism stuff is like justified based on his who he is as a character.
It's also like with Sokka. Like Sokka had those problems in the beginning, and we didn't all like hate Sokka because of it.
Yeah, it's not like them. It's not like Sokka making sexist jokes in episode three is wrong.
He's
like he's learning and stuff. But yeah, Varric, the problem with Varric is they made his stuff jokes, like from the perspective of the audience. Yeah. But anyway, putting that aside, I think Varric was certainly like the most compelling new character they added.
Julie, do the thing.
Yeah, that was pretty great. I should have probably given an honorable mention.
Oh, I should have totally done Julie. Darn it.
Yeah, I would have put her on my honorable mention.
I don't think she can.
I'll get that tattoo.
Yeah, she does, Dylan. She totally counts.
She barely counts.
Julie, do the thing.
Britt, who is your number three?
My number three was Korra.
Korra. I think this will be our only appearance of Korra on our list.
Yeah. Yes, probably.
Why do you like Korra?
Because I finally like Korra. Because she would not be on my list from season one if it had been the end, but I like. But she had an arc. She was sympathetic at points. Like, I like Korra now, and I didn't like Korra season one. She
I'm
was
kind of leaning
she,
toward that, too. Like, I almost
like she
like
made
her.
Me so angry. But now I feel like I understand her. Like, she's... Maybe I've just gotten more used to characters that make me angry because they make bad decisions. But I feel like some of her decisions that she made that were not so smart were at least justified in her perspective. Like, I think she felt more like a teenager. And maybe it's because I'm looking at her as someone who's now an adult when she is still a teenager. Like, I'm now older than Korra. In season one, I don't think I was older than Korra. At least I didn't feel older than Korra, but she's just different now.
I want to see her
succeed. I want to see her fail. I want to see her change and become the Avatar and the adults and just grow up. She's like that childhood friend who went through a weird phase and now she's kind of getting out of it.
I think, interestingly, her being completely unsympathetic in the beginning of the season made her more sympathetic overall, because she actually, like, has a character now. And even if that meant being, like, really angry at everyone in the beginning, which I thought was completely, like, I thought her perspective was well represented on the show and her actions were justified. I mean, not necessarily justified, but, like, you understand her perspective. And certainly...
It was a rampage and you were like, what's going on?
Yeah, like, you know why Korra is mad, like, in general. Yeah. Even if it's annoying that she was mad all the time. Like, they just...
Dude, I just watched, like, season two yesterday.
Did you actually finish it?
No.
Okay.
I watched the beginning of season two yesterday up to, like, the first half, and I still just, like... I just don't understand anything.
This is the beginning of the second season. It's I think so Korra's arc in the second season, I thought, really well. It turns out it was very well executed. I still don't think she's a great... protagonist, but
the best,
she's
the
getting there. She's definitely getting there. Yeah, I definitely agree with that. I like her a lot more than I did after book one. I agree with you, Britt.
Mm-hmm.
I agree.
Delaney, who is your three?
My three is Asami.
Asami.
Like, she's just such a great character. And, like, you know, and usually I don't like her types of character, like, the kind of, because, you know, in the beginning it's like, who is this prissy little rich girl? And then she turns out to be just totally awesome and just destroys people.
She's the best. cars and like mecha tanks.
She beats people up and still manages to look fabulous. We should all aspire to be like Asami. Like,
we should all be Asami. Yes.
And continuing to talk about Asami, my number two is Asami. And she by far has the best arc in book one, and it's not close. She's really the only character that's well handled from start to finish in book one. That being said, she's completely cast off to the side in book two, and it really hurts. And you know, why do they do this? In the episode before the finale, they say, "Okay, Asami, you go walk away and don't come back for the rest of the show." That actually happens, and it's very frustrating.
Have a spin-off show about Asami,
please. Yeah, just Asami, yeah.
Just Asami.
Anyway, like my number two and my number one are like very far apart from the others. Like Asami is very sympathetic and.
You know how like Adventure Time is like technically Adventure Time with Finn and Jake?
Yeah.
Let's have Business Time with Asami Sato.
Yes.
Asami. And Bolin being her sidekick of awesome. Please.
A show about Asami running her business. Sato. That would be probably be more entertaining than a lot of Korra, not Korra.
Yes,
okay.
Probably.
Sam, who is your two?
My two is Lin.
Lin, okay.
Lin Beifong. First off, she's Toph's baby.
Does that instantly give her points?
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Second off.
Of course.
She has like the best lines. Big to do. And what the flame.
What the flame, yeah.
I don't know, she's just really cool. I really like her. And like her big sacrifice in what's it called? That episode. 110.
Yeah, 110.
Is that one? Skeletons in the Closet?
No, it's the one before Skeletons in the Closet.
Turning the Tides?
Yes. It's when, you know, she sacrifices herself.
And we all cried for days.
And we all cried for days. And, like, that just, like, she's such a, I can't say it. She's, like, so cool. And I want to be her when I grow up. But I can't, because I can't bend metal or earth.
That's unfortunate.
Actually, like, I have a slide phone. And, like, you could have, like, a picture, like, as the, you know, slide down, and you can picture slide up. My slide phone pictures are her doing the finger thing with Korra. So yes. It's just her doing, like, the I'm watching you. So, like, slide down, her fingers are on her eyes, slide up her fingers, like, on Korra's.
That's amazing.
Direction. So, yeah, Lin. She's awesome. I hope we do see more of her.
It does seem like we'll be seeing more of Lin in book three.
Hopefully.
Mm-hmm. Britt, who is your number two?
My number two is Jenora.
Yay, Jenora. Why do you like Jenora?
Mine's too. We're twinsies.
Okay, well, you can both talk about
high
it.
High fives. Jenora is my favorite because she is the oldest sister, and I am the oldest sister, and sometimes I stare at her siblings, and I'm like, yes, I feel your pain. just all the time. Like, I had some, like, season one, like, Mako sometimes. I was like, yeah, I kind of get that, but Jenora, it's like, yes. And then she came down from the heavens and saved everyone, and I was just like, you're the best. She's like this little girl who's all cute and sweet and spiritual, but she does everything, and I think that's awesome.
Yes.
Yes.
Delaney.
Like, Jenora is a bookworm character, and I can't not like those kinds of characters. But Jenora, like, season one, she's just witty, and, like, I make no promises, and other things, like, she's just great. And then season two, Jenora, like, backtalks while she talked. It was amazing. Like, in her facial expression, she's so much like Aang, it hurts, and I just love her so much. Like, she gets so much better in season two, which I didn't think it could. Like, I didn't have a lot of hope that they would add more to Jenora or that she really could get better, because I love Jenora immediately. And then it just, Jenora, you're the best. Like, why? It's great.
She's so adorable.
Yeah, Jenora was very sympathetic in book one, but she didn't have much of a role, and I didn't see it coming either, her expanded role. In book two. Yeah, my number one is Jenora.
Yeah, that's not a surprise.
So we can chain into that. I talked about it a lot in our commentary for A New Spiritual Age, why I love Jenora so much this season. Just her role in that episode is really incredible.
Why did you love Jenora before?
Just every line she said was great. Like, she was like a really good side character. But
she's just so witty.
Yeah. And it's just, yeah, I don't know. It's like you're predisposed to like this type of character. This is like the Hermione character, but in book two, they like kind of give her own personality in A New Spiritual Age, and then she does something significant to the plot, and it's just really great. And the show needs to be Jenora and Asami doing things.
Yes.
Just like going off on adventures.
This is time with Asami and Jinora.
Yes, that would be great. Sam, who's your number one? It's Bolin.
Well,
I think we can all guess each other's number one.
My number one is Bolin. I have some explaining to do. So, it's kind of like how Britt was saying, like how she like kind of relates to Jinora and that Jinora is like the oldest sister and stuff. Like, I relate to Bolin in that, like, I'm the youngest sibling, and, like, I always have, you know, people looking out for me when I kind of just, like, don't want that. Like, I want to, like, break free of that. And, like, I always find myself, like, not knowing what to do, just, like, sitting around, like, oh, I'm the youngest. I have all my friends are all elsewhere, and I'm just over here, like, you know. And on that, like, I think me and Bolin have similar personalities too. Like, I see a lot of myself in him. And, like, I just, that Ginger stuff that happened this season, I just don't want to think about it. Like, that really, I was thinking about it when, like, thinking about, can I forgive Bolin for that? It's like, well, let's just not think about it.
Just ignore it. That's a good solution. To the side. Yeah.
Like, because other than that, like, I really, you know, I mean, but like you know, you have those characters that you really relate to.
Yeah.
Like, I relate to Bolin a lot, so.
Like for two episodes in book one, he's, like, the best character ever.
Well, he's the best character ever all the time.
I mean, yeah, but, like, but specifically for, like, episodes 4 and 5, like, he's so good.
Yeah, you know, like, I don't know, like, me and him are
book
just,
one. Did I say book two? I meant book one, yeah. But yeah.
We're just, like, the same person. Like, we're both happy-go-lucky, and we're both, like, stocky, and dark hair, except I don't have green eyes, and like we're the youngest, and we're fun. So I don't have a red panda thing, though. I heard.
You should. But, you should have Papu. I don't know why you don't.
Everyone has one. Sam, I don't even have one.
Oh, yeah. Jeez. No, it's like Bolin. I am poor. So.
Stop. Stop peer pressuring her into having a fictional being. Okay.
I'd like recommend keeping an endangered red panda at your house.
Well, he's a red panda fire ferret, so like he's a hyper. But yeah, anyway, Britt, who is your number one?
Yes,
Asami.
Oh my god.
Well, okay, I'll edit that. But okay, continue.
Yes, you guessed it. Awesome. Yes, it's Asami. She's just the best, and we're both girly, and we both wear eyeshadow, and I just really like her. Okay, she's like so grounded, well-rounded character.
This has turned into a how do we relate to our number one character choice.
Like, I don't know. I just like her. Okay, she's the best. I don't just like the Lindern statue. I mean.
I feel like it's important that you let, like, I think that's just like a thing that happens. Like, the character you like the best is the one that you relate to the most.
Yeah, I think that often happens. Yeah.
Or, like, he's the most opposite from you. But Asami is what I would be if I could be anybody.
Okay. That everyone should aspire to
like,
be
I even Asami. I even like her, like, faults and, like, when she messes up and, like, the sting. When she, like, collapses sort of emotionally and she clings to Mako, who's the only thing she has left. And God knows that's never a good place to be in. So, like, I liked that, okay. Even if it kind of got really what are you doing in the like the next couple of episodes. I liked it in that episode. It made sense.
It's like even when Asami screwed up in that, she like was even more sympathetic. I don't know.
She acted humanly. You know? Yeah. She never ceases to act like a character.
How is Asami the only character they can do right?
Because she I don't really know. Is,
yeah.
Because she's perfect. That's why. And always she's flawless.
She isn't going to become an angel when she dies and float around and do things.
Is that what angels do? They float around and do
things. The next Iroh.
She should be, yeah.
She's going to hang out with Iroh and Jinora.
Yeah, 10 years from now when they reboot Avatar again, Asami's going to be one that appears in the spirit world.
Yes.
When the next Avatar goes.
And look fabulous.
Mm-hmm. And Delaney, who is your number one? It's Lynn.
Yeah.
True. It's totes Lynn.
How do you relate to Lynn?
Well, okay, here. Mine's a two-parter. Like, Jinora was my second favorite. Like, I'm real book, you know, I'm real bookish, as Sam likes to make fun of me constantly about, because I read so much. And then, and Jinora's really witty, but, like, Lynn, to me, like, represents, like, a more, like, darker side. Like, I am so ridiculously snarky constantly. And that's what Lynn is, and I love her. Like, she's just the incarnate of sarcasm, and I love it. And of course, she's Toph's baby, like... Yeah, and Toph was my favorite character, so...
Yeah, Toph was my favorite character.
So, obviously, Lynn is now my new... Like, she's just amazing. Like, everything she does is awesome. She's Spider-Lynn. Like, no one else does that. It's just Lynn. The sacrifice, which I cried for days about. Like, she's just perfect. I love everything. And that trench coat. Like, I can't even talk about that trench coat. It's the greatest thing ever. Like, that made one of my lists, that trench coat. Like, she's... amazing. Like, I love her so much. I just really, I have a lot of Lynn feels. She's just the best.
Definitely interesting to see where they go with her next season.
Oh, they better do something with her. I'm mad. I was already mad about this season.
Yeah, she did nothing. Like, mean to Mako. Yeah.
Write angry letters.
I mean, I love that she was mean to Mako, but still, like, give Lynn some.
Writing bad. Angry letters will not do anything. They've already finished writing the show.
Dylan, don't crush my hopes and dreams.
They've literally finished writing. Okay.
Dylan, how do you relate to Janora? Quick.
Not much. I don't know. I find her...
It's because Dylan is actually a 10-year-old girl.
Yeah, like, I mean, you all were like, I'm like... Sam was like, I'm exactly the same person as Bull, and I'm like, I'm not the same. Anyway, no. Okay, so those are our favorite characters. And give us your list. I'm a fan of /forums. What we're going to do next is we're going to save episodes for after the plug, and I think I'm going to start with one of my top 10s. And then we're going to do, like, another few. I have 3 top 10s, so...
Oh, I only made one.
Well, you did a lot of research for your one, so that's good.
Okay, yours was a lot of work.
Yeah.
I was
going to make a list of top 10 overpowered elements, but it was just all water.
Water.
All 10 spots were water.
Top 10, there's only 4 elements.
I know. It didn't make sense. Okay. Here's my top 10 list that we're going to do. It's Korra Power Rankings. So here's some background on this. ESPN.com, like sports stuff, does like power rankings of teams in each sport. Like they like to have their actual win-loss record, and they have power rankings of like how good they actually are according to people's opinions. So now on a website called Grantland, this guy Mark Lasanti does power rankings for Mad Men characters, kind of like spoofing these power rankings, and he like ranks the characters in Mad Men after each episode that have the most power. This is something I wish I thought of doing for Cord while the season was airing. But so his is like humorous for each one, but I'm going to play this straight and rank the characters who, the Korra characters who have the most power in the Avatar world after the book 2 finale.
Like ability or like influence?
Influence.
Okay.
So it is important to say when we are doing this, because if we were ranking them in the middle of book 2, Unalaq and Varric would be very high on this list. But now that we are not, they don't make it. My honorable mentions for the top 10 power rankings are Varric and General Iroh. Also, I tried to like have like significant people in the rankings. General Iroh, it's kind of unclear how much influence he actually has. He kind of leads the forces, so he's kind of important, but... He's also just bossed around by the president, so I don't know. And Varric is out of jail now and still has a significant, I'm looking for a word, but industry. He presumably could do something, even though we won't see him again. Okay, 10, I have Tenzin. Now that Tenzin is off the council...
I see what you did there.
No, that wasn't intentional.
Tenzin as number 10.
Tenzin doesn't have political power anymore, but he still has influence over Korra, which I think is where his power now comes from. He's the reason Korra becomes a giant spirit thing at the end, his advice. So I guess that's really... I mean, 10 is pretty low. There's not all that many main characters to rank here. But yeah, so... If this was book 1, I think Tenzin would be like top 5, but now he's just number 10. Okay, my number 9 is Bumi on this list, and I think this one's more questionable than the others. He's mostly this high, I guess, based on his taking down of the entire camp in like the third to last episode of the season. I still think he probably holds influence based on his position as like former, as like retired like commander, and of course he's influence on Korra and Tenzin and everyone else. What do you think of Bumi? Do you think Bumi holds power in the Avatar world?
No.
Any sort of power?
I do. I think so. I mean,
he holds power of Bumi.
He was in charge of stuff. And he retired, and like I'm sure he has connections everywhere.
Yeah.
He walks around in his underwear. Little hug.
I mean, he has like self-given power, like self-agency. I mean, he took out an entire like base alone with just one robot.
Yeah, which is what this is mostly based on, I would say.
Yeah. So, I mean, he probably does have connections.
It's
I mean, if he walked into Lynn's office and was like, I need a thing, she might be, you know, more inclined to listen than, say, Mako walked in and was like, I need a thing.
They're probably friends.
Well, I have Mako rated higher, but yeah, I'll defend that. Okay, number eight, I have Bolin. Bolin, I think, does good. Is that what you said?
Moving on up in the world.
I think Bolin earlier in the season would be like close to one, right? He's only one of two famous people in the world.
I probably would have ranked him higher.
Yeah, so I think the reason he's only at eight is because Varric is gone now, so he's not actually a movie star anymore.
The movie still exists.
Yeah, so... eight's high. Like, he has influence because he's, like, famous.
Well, it's like the, like, I'd say, like, the celebrity, like, influence aspect of, like, culture is just developing here. Like, it's not what it is today. Like,
yeah, I agree.
You saved the president.
Seven is Lynn, who is the metalbending chief of police, she's powerful. Yeah. I don't say. I mean, this is kind of questionable.
And just being Toph's daughter gives her
influence. I don't think that's true. Maybe it's true, I guess. Six, I have Mako. This is more like he's trending upwards because he does get promoted at the end of the season. And, you know, knowing Korra helps. So maybe that gives him a push over Lynn. I mean, Lynn knows Korra too, but.
Everybody knows Korra.
Oh, sorry.
I know everybody. Korra.
Yeah.
Even Dylan knows Korra.
That's not true.
We met Korra. We've talked to Korra.
Five is Asami because I think Asami's like maybe more powerful now than ever because now that Varric's out of the way, she's like the only significant business influence we know of in the Avatar world. So she can pretty much control.
Doesn't like Varric still own like her business?
Well, Varric's in jail, so he's not.
I don't know.
He escaped, but he's not going to just go and run his business now, right? He'll be arrested again.
And based on that, like since he like had bought out Asami's stuff, and since it's all of his assets are probably frozen, she can probably buy it. Like she can probably take over all of his holdings.
If she hasn't already done that, yeah.
Yeah.
What if she hasn't? What?
What if she doesn't have any money?
I don't know. Well, she'll get some of it back probably.
She'll find a way.
She's still significant. Anyway. Okay, four is weird. I have Furry Foot and Other Spirits, parentheses. So this is acknowledging the fact that we have other influences on the world now. And presumably some of these spirits could be pretty influential in the Avatar world. Is Furry Foot Boomju?
Yes.
I think he is. I'm not sure, though.
That's what I think, too.
Okay. So, especially, that means this spirit now has access to the physical world and has connections to Jinora and Bumi. Like, that's pretty good.
Mm-hmm.
Three is one you don't even consider, but Tonrak, who is now the chief of the Southern Water Tribe. So...
Wouldn't he be a chief of both of them?
Probably.
I don't know if he's chief of both or not. But yeah, Tonrak has political power again. And is significant. Two is Jinora because she is magic and can do anything she wants. So obviously
she is the Messiah.
I mean, that has to rank pretty high, right?
Yeah, and she can badmouth spirits like Wan Chitong. Like,
yeah,
you don't need any other abilities.
I mean, the reason Jinora is number two is because like all these rankings are because of the significant development at the end of the show, which is opening the portals. Jinora is the most spiritual person on the planet, probably, and so she comes to not a benefit, but just she can do things that other people can't now that there's going to be spirits in the world. And one is Korra. I think this is pretty clear.
He's the Avatar.
Well, no. I think that there's only 2 points in the show in which Korra is number one on this list at the end of both season finales.
Became Godzilla.
Which I think it shows that they're purposely trending her arc upwards each season. Because, like, Unalaq's clearly number one most of the season. And last season, Amon's clearly number one. But Korra is the only... superly influential figure in the world at the moment.
I'm going to admit that I don't understand this list, but okay.
People exerting who have the most power to exert. Korra chose to open the portals and single-handedly is changing the world completely. And there's Raiko, like, doesn't seem to have, like, I could have put Raiko on this list, but he's not a character, really. She can probably influence his actions maybe more than he can, like, himself. Like, her dad runs the Southern Tribe. She's arguably more powerful right now than Aang was at any point. I mean, not arguably. Wow. Probably very much true. More powerful right now than Aang was at any point in Avatar.
You're making some bold statements.
Well, more powerful in certain aspects.
Not like bending power, but like influence in the entire world. Aang never had this.
Definitely. I just meant like a certain, yeah.
Aang has her giant statue.
We have no idea.
Okay, that changes everything.
Exactly.
I mean, that we know of, like, in Avatar from start to finish, I would say she has more, like, power. But, like, in his entire life, we have no idea.
Well, yeah. I mean, and arguably Aang, right at the end of the war, maybe has more influence, mm-hmm. but it's questionable, I think.
Yeah, well, seeing as how much they, like, first of all, like, as we said, giant statue, like, they worshipped Aang. So I'd say as a whole, like, just Aang himself, like, had a lot of power with people. But, like, Korra has the most power to change, I think, like, the world physically, or, like, I guess spiritually, however you want to say it, like, to actually change the nature of the world, whereas Aang had a lot of power to change people and therefore change the course of events.
Yeah, I'd agree with that. Aang never, to our knowledge, Aang never did anything as crazy as opening the spirit world to...
Well, we didn't know these existed until this... So, there's a good chance Aang didn't know that this was the thing.
Mm-hmm. Because did Aang know about Avatar Wan? It's interesting. Presumably at some point. Okay.
Well, there's a good chance because Aang was frozen, like he didn't actually do his training, that Korra didn't just have to access Avatar Wan, like discover Rava again, just because of the Dark Spirit. There could have been other factors leading into that, I think. Like Aang could have been part of why. We don't know.
Yeah, we don't know. Okay, so that is that list. Sam. Why don't you do the CGI moments now?
Okay, Dylan. Well, I went through and watched all of Korra within the past couple of days. All 26 episodes.
Because Sam is crazy.
Yes,
go, Sam, go.
And I took...
That was not required for the record, but you did.
It was required for me.
Okay.
I took screenshots and I made notes and I came up with a list of the worst CGI moments I could see. So,
if you're unaware, Sam throughout the episode discussions has criticized the CGI in Korra several times. So this is a very relevant list for Sam.
And certain, like, it's going to vary from like objects to certain scenes. So let's get on with it. So number 10, I chose the fight scene in 103 between Mako and Korra and the Equalists. As you notice, the background in that scene is like all shaky and CGI, and I don't like it. So that's that. Number 9, the opening scene in Out of the Past, where Tarlok is taking Korra downstairs, and he is blubbing her, and it's really gross. Basically, it's like this really rendered, just, it looks like we're playing a PlayStation game. That scene. No, it's just like CGI stairs, and then you have like the CGI holding case in the far distance. And it's just like, it's like I'm playing a video game. Like it's like a video game cutscene right there. And it just doesn't work with the animation. Okay, number 8. Out of the many cars in the Avatar world, or the Korra world, I have chosen one. I could have said cars in general, but this one in particular was very striking. I said the Triple Threat Triad's car in 101. You know, the one, the red one,
yeah,
the gold.
It's so bad. And like, we were talking about it. I'm like, I know what car she's talking about.
Like, that car, it's just, like, all the cars admittedly aren't that great, but this one wasn't the best. So, you know that car is the first car we see up close, almost. Anyway, let's see. Number 7. This is hard to describe. You know how in, A New Spiritual Age, Korra does this thing where she's standing like still, and then the camera just like zooms over to another place, like she traveled.
Yes.
Like yes, that part. I complained about. Also, yes.
That's number 7. That is that's like a nice little. I think it's a nice little CGI trick. I'm not even sure if it's CGI or not. It looks like it.
That's how bad it is. We don't even know what it is.
I don't even know what it is. I don't know how to describe it. I just don't like it. Like
it's awful.
We have all of this like really advanced like graphical stuff zooming by this hand drawn character, and it just doesn't look good. So that's my number 7. Okay. Number 6, I have the planes in Skeletons in the Closet.
Thank you.
No problem. So, basically, yeah, it's the scene where Iroh comes in with his people, and they're all, like, fighting the Equalists and stuff, and they have these really terrible CGI planes that they are dive-bombing into the water. So that's not fun. Anyway, number 5. Asami's scooter in Voice in the Night. The one that she hits Mako with. It's a terrible looking scooter. I wouldn't want to be hit by it. Like
Because it looks bad or just in general you don't want to be hit by a scooter?
Both. It looked like it's so out of place. Like, oh my god. It just looks terrible. Oh. I don't like it. Okay, so. Number 4. We have the racetrack scene in The Aftermath. You know, the one where Asami's, like, racing on the racetrack with Korra.
And the Korsami scene? Yes.
Yes. Just this whole, like, minute-long scene where they're racing and the cars and the track, and it's just all CGI, and it just looks terrible. Oh, I don't like it.
It's okay.
It's my heart. It's okay. Anyway, so that one was number 4. Number 3! The training air gate things, you know, the beginning ones, except specifically when they're shown in 201, what do you call it? Rebel Spirit. Like, that's when they look the worst. When they're zooming by them in their little air scooter race. Like, they look just terrible. Like, I don't even know what that is. Like, they looked bad. Well, not, like, too bad. They just look, like, really out of place. In, what episode was that? 102? They just look really out of place in that one, but, like, in 201, they just look awful. Ugh. Makes me sick. Okay. Number 2, the mecha tanks, in general. Yes. They look awful.
They could look so cool!
They're so awful. Like, I agree from, like, an actual, like, visual standpoint, they're horrible-looking.
They stick out like a sore thumb. I took, like, the worst screen caps I could of them. Like, oh my god. Like, is this even the same show?
Did you guys even try? Like, what
did
is
you
this?
Guys even try? Like, this is just, like, this is, like, some weird anime happening. Just, like, I don't know what it even is. Like, oh, I just don't like the mecha tanks. They just don't look good at all. They look awful in The Aftermath. They look awful in The Sting. They just look awful in general. That's how I feel. And number 1. The Amon mask on a statue. That is the most baffling piece of anything I've ever seen in my life. I don't know, like, just, like, from, like, a standpoint in the show, like, they had to, like, hire people to design that and make it.
They measured it, like, they had to measure. They had to measure,
like, they had, like, probably, like, spies on Aang's, like, face and measured it. And then they had to, like, go to, like, a metal workshop and, like, bang it out. And then they had to, like, airlift it on there. And it just looks so stupid. And, like, it's just like this. It's just the worst thing I've ever seen in my life.
Like, they went through all this effort. It doesn't even look good. Like, what are you doing?
Like, nope. and from like a not show stand, like it's just like the cheesiest thing they could have done. Just pay, like Amon, like
it had to have been Lieutenant's idea. Like, I think it was Lieutenant's
idea. It couldn't have been Amon's idea. Like, guys, let's put a giant mask of my let's put a giant replica of my mask onto Aang's statue. That'll really
that's like really Hitler looking for Atlantis.
That's it's just awful. And like
guys, this CGI, really destroyed them if we put this my isn't face.
Like I think this like the CGI isn't that good, but like mostly because I just don't understand, and it just makes me so angry why they put the mask on
there. It makes absolutely no sense.
Yeah, I think this is more personal than bad CGI.
You're personal.
That's true. I don't know. Okay,
you know what?
But like, do we disagree with him though? No, like,
I don't disagree. No, I do disagree with many of those, but not that one.
I disagree with you.
Okay, I see how it is.
But I don't know. If like CGI, like screen capping, it doesn't really catch the essence.
Yeah,
like, it looks worse when it's moving. So,
would you say the CGI has been better or worse in book two than book one?
Well, I said this a couple times to you. I said that with the Studio Pierrot animation, the CGI isn't that bad. Like, I went back and watched the motorcycle scene in Rebel Spirit with Mako. Like, I remember thinking at first, like, when I first saw it, hey, that's not that bad. And I look back, and, like, it still doesn't look that bad. So I think somehow worse animation plus CGI equals okay. But good animation plus CGI equals worse. I think because the better the animation, the, like, worse the CGI sticks out. Like, the CGI is, like, so, like, blocky and simplistic. Not blocky, but, like, it's so, like, simplistic and, like, polygonal that, like, having all this detailed, beautiful animation, it just, like, sticks out like a sore thumb. Like, that, like, you notice, like, most of my list was made up of season one self. So, yeah.
Yeah.
I'm sorry my list is terrible.
Not terrible. It's very comprehensive.
Oh, yeah. Sarcasm.
No, I'm not sorry. You watched all the episodes to make it. Yeah. Anyway. Well, I mean, that sounds good to me. If you too hate the CGI in Korra, tell us about it. Anyway.
Don't make me seem like the bad guy. Like, it's not that. Like, I know it's like a necessity. Like, they have to do it because time and stuff. But it doesn't look good.
I agree with many of those. Some. I don't know. I think you had the Revelations fight scene on there, which I really liked. Anyway, Delaney. I'll
post screenshots.
Let's do one of your lists.
You want to do the Mako list or my other list?
Let's do Mako.
All right, so I made a list of Mako's top 10 worst moments / quotes, because I know everyone has feelings about this. I'm going to struggle a little bit through this shorthand because I made this on Christmas Eve, so it shouldn't take too long. I'll be good. Just if there's a weird pause, it's because I'm trying to figure out what the heck I wrote.
Okay, no problem.
All right, so we're going to start at... Okay, I have two honorable mentions. I have Mako saying, get out of town. Like, it's hilarious, but it's stupid.
Get out of town.
Why did you say this?
I think that is the best Mako moment.
Like, it's not like...
It just, like, zooms in on his face.
Like, I don't even think it's that he says it. It's the way he says it. Get out of town. Like, get Mako, town. You get out of town. Like, stop.
It is 20s lingo, but why is it in there when they don't like, use it elsewhere?
I love that part, but then it's stupid. Like, Mako, why? Like, it cracks me up, but it's so stupid. And then the other honorable mention is just, like, since it's really vague, I didn't want to give it a number, but, like, his woe is me nonsense in the first half of season 2. Like, Mako, calm down. No one cares. Like, it's whatever. Because, like, he's the whole, like, Korra, she's fighting. Why is Korra so mean to me? It's like, shut up, Mako. No one cares. All right. So, second honorable mention is, because it's just really vague, I didn't want to give it a number. But, like, the first half of season 2 where Mako's like, Korra's so mean to me. I'm just the perfect boyfriend. Why doesn't Korra love me? It's like, shut up, Mako. No one cares. So that really got on my nerves. Like, in the beginning I understood, but then he kept going with it, and like, shut up, Mako, you're fine. Calm down.
Now, are these more general moments, or like...
No. I have specific quotes and specific moments. That's why this is an honorable mention, because it's very vague.
Okay. I agree with that one, though.
Yes. Well, the number... anyway, okay. So number 10 is... confessing his love to Korra, being like, oh, even though you're not bending, I still like Mako. This is the worst possible moment to confess your love to Korra. Like, stop it.
I like the way he says it.
Like, it was really obnoxious. Like, Mako, like, no. First of all, of course, everyone knows I hate Makora, but this really got on my nerves.
The way, like, he says it, though, like, I love Korra.
Like, stop it, Mako. But, yeah. So. And then, Sam helped me with this list.
I did. So I was rewatching.
Yep.
Continue, yes.
All right, number 9. Oh, God. I'm confused now. Okay, I'm good. All right. Blaming Bolin for the kiss. He's like, God, why'd you tell her, like, in season one?
Like, yeah.
What episode is
turning
this?
Turning the Tides. It was like...
They're in the sewer.
Oh, yeah. No. Yes.
And Bolin mentions it, like, the kiss, and Asami gets really mad. Then Mako gets mad at Bolin for telling Asami.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
Despite, instead of owning up to it, he's like, oh, Bolin. It's like, we hate you, Mako.
And Mako, why can't you just be a man?
Why are you making me remember all these awful things?
I just because it's through Mako. It.
And then, all right, number 8. This is season 2. Not to be confused with what he does to Asami in season 1. Season 2, where he just leaves her out to dry again. Like, he's just like, I'm done. Hello, Korra. It's like, really? You did this again, Mako? Really?
I just, oh my god.
Like, Mako, you're not allowed to date people. Stop.
He just needs to have, like, a little character. He needs to have a giant character arc again.
We were starting to like Mako.
Yes.
It's like the time this thing came around.
Yeah. And then 7, not telling Korra that they're broken up. It's like, Mako. This is tied into...
This is why we hate you.
Like, exactly. Like, this is tied in again to, like, leaving Asami out, like, being like, oh, whatever, Asami.
You mean in book 2 as opposed to the non-breakup in book 1?
Yes.
Yeah.
That one, we all know where that's on that one, so we all know where that is. But, like, I'm just like, Mako, why? Like, he should have been, like, I would have given a lot of props to Mako if he would, like, they get together and he's like, we're broken up, Korra, back off.
Lying to someone who had amnesia is always, like, a sign of a good person, right?
What are you doing?
Yeah. This is a soap opera.
It's so irritating. And then also, I didn't like it because, like, Korra didn't even, like, get mad at him about it later. She was just like, yeah, I knew. It's like, really? But, okay, so 6. Mako, when Tonrak's like, look out for my daughter, Mako's like, you got it. It's like, really, Mako? That is those... patronizing sexist thing, and I was just like, oh, I wanted to punch him. It's like, this is not acceptable behavior.
It was well intentioned, but
not okay.
Not okay,
especially when your girlfriend's ex-girlfriend is the Avatar. Like, what are you gonna do that?
he doesn't face things.
He got his butt kicked by like 2 waterbenders. Like, really, really?
I could kick Mako's butt, and I'm a small white girl.
Let's do Mako. What the heck?
Continue.
And then, alright, so number 5, if I can. Okay. Oh god. Okay, this is one of those moments where I gotta figure out where. What I wrote.
Well, in the meantime, let us speculate on what will be on this list. We're gonna have the non breakup. We're going to have Mako in episode 105. Just probably generally there.
I really have no idea what this says. I figured it out before we started.
Okay, skip it and then come back to it if you
can figure it out. All right, so 4. Mako carrying Korra in Out of the Past.
Yes.
Oh my god, I was so
just
mad.
Right past his homies.
It's like, and the look on his face. It's like, I hate you, Mako. So much. Like, oh, I hate Mako.
And strokes her face. And just
it's not that he carries her. It's how he does it.
At this point, it was just comical.
really? And of course, number 3, Mako threatening that guard.
Yeah, oh my god, Mako.
Why? Like, really, Mako? Was that necessary?
A poop,
what episode is this?
In
Out of the Past?
Yeah, like, they're underground, and he's with Lin, and he, like, lifts the guard up.
Like, where's Avatar?
And he has fire, and he's, like, threatening him. It's like, really, Mako? Stop it. I called it Fire Dagger. I don't know if he actually makes
a fire dagger. It wasn't a Fire Dagger. It was just, like, a flame fist. Yeah.
It's like, really, Mako?
Yeah, I remember that. Okay. Yes, number 2.
Number 2, the leeches quote.
Okay, yeah.
Tells Bolin. Yeah. It's like... Like, well, of course this ties into number 1, which we'll get to in a minute, which will take a little bit, but number 2 is like, Mako, are you serious? Like, first of all, you have no right to be giving out advice to anybody ever about anything. Like, no.
Especially love.
Yes, especially. Like, you just know. And then, of course, it was good. Like, Bolin, like, he had a great comeback, but it's like, Mako, like, why did you think this was a good idea?
Pull him off like a blood-sucking leech.
And the fact that he compared it to a leech, like, really?
Just the hibakushi with the number one.
And number one, not breaking up with Sami. Oh my god.
But Delaney was obviously implied.
Wrong.
That's Megan Bride.
Like, really? Really? Like, that's implied or not? It's like, it's not okay.
This isn't something you imply.
Like, if it was kind of like Bolin and like Eska, and like, let's say they've been dating for like a day and a half, that's different from they have been dating through the majority of the show.
Yep.
And then it's just like, nope. It's like, that's not okay. Like, this was a committed relationship that went on for at least a few months. And then they're just like, nope, we're done.
They didn't break off.
I'm just like, for all we know, they're still dating. Like, we don't know. He could be dating Cora Anderson. We don't know, because he never broke up with her.
Yeah.
I still don't know what my number five is.
Well, at some point, if you figure it out.
It has something to do with Asami, but I can't read what I wrote.
Unsurprising.
Boil it yourself.
Anyway, that's top moments. Anyway, yeah, just tell us when, if you can ever decipher it. So, yeah, I think we are about halfway. So let us do a quick book rec. For you listeners of the From Sword World podcast, we have a free audiobook download to go with a free 14-day trial just for checking out Audible services, audibletrial.com/FTSW. And today, Delaney is very quickly recommending something.
All right.
I forget what it was called, though.
Etiquette and Espionage by Gail Carriger. I've been on a reading binge over Christmas break, which isn't surprising.
Not surprising.
Nope. But, so I found these, like, I was on Goodreads, found them. I'm like, this seems really neat. These are the best books ever. Like, Gail Carriger is my hero. Why is she so awesome? So, she has an adult series, young adult, but I'm just going to write the young adult right now. It's set in 19th century England, and it's an alternate history. So not only do we have steampunk technology, we have vampires and werewolves and ghosts and all sorts of other things. So that's cool, if you like that stuff. And then, so these girls go to, if you're not that well-versed in history, like 19th century women were expected to go to finishing school, especially like ladies of the realm, like if they were like really high up in society, they were expected to go to finishing school to learn etiquette and like how to curtsy and like how to set a table and like what to use for which dish and things like that. Well, these girls go, they learn how to curtsy, they learn everything you're supposed to learn, but they also learn how to throw knives, poison, and just, in general, do assassin things.
Where do you find these books?
They're the best things ever. It's a series. There's the first one is Etiquette and Espionage, and there's Curtsies and Conspiracies, which is on my desk right now, but I haven't read. My mom read it, and she loved it. So, but these books are amazing.
Where do you find all these books? To, like,
the library. They're all books lit. Yes. Yeah, Dylan got me addicted to Goodreads because he's a jerk and he likes to make me.
I made a Goodreads account the other night.
But yes.
Anyway, so yeah, check that out, audibletrial.com/FTSW.
Yep, and it's by Gail Carriger. Read all of her books.
Update on last week, I read the second book in the Black Jewels series and I'm still really liking it. So check that out. That's all for this week's podcast. I've been your main host, Dylan. Co-host have been Sam, Delaney, Britt. Other credits. Technical Roger, AJ, Kevin, Jeff, Music Credits, the Yoshida Brothers, Jeremy Zuckerman, Luke Tripp, Logan Banner, Kevin, Dunk Things on AJ. Contributors, Garrett, Sierra, Nick, Devin, Loxy.
Okay, so G Money, Sierra Miss, Nick and Knight, Rudy and Tabooty.
Yes. If you enjoyed today's podcast, consider donating from the Spirit World. All donations go directly to supporting our podcast.
Give us your mom.
You can donate by going to dongfang.net/podcast and you can donate at the top. If it sounds like I abruptly cut off the podcast that we were just doing, that is because I did. Next week, we went We went over 2 hours on this one. Oh. So next week, I'll be putting up the second part of this discussion. I think the second part's probably stronger than this part. So
this was the worst podcast we've ever done.
You said that next week. I know.
You said that next week.
Yes. Past me. or can future we me. On
that? They don't understand why that makes it. I said, okay, so we recorded the ending to the second part before the ending to the first part. Like, I'm going back and doing this, but.
Which is why we should say you said that next.
Anyway, next week you can hear our lists on episode, our episode rankings. I have two lists, worst characters and female-to-female actions. We have accessories, visuals, and quotes. And all of that will be next week going up. Yeah, thanks for listening. At dongwufang.net/podcast, at dongwufang, Tumblr, Twitter, Dylan at dongwufang.net. Send us voicemail. Suggest topics for us to do the week after next week on the forums, because next week is part two of this, and then we're doing another one after that, but we'll have recorded it before you listen to the second part. So suggest it now. Okay.
How do they make paper?
There are going to be people listening to this being like, what?
Yeah, don't worry. What do you want to end on for this one?
You said that next week.
Spoil it yourself.
No, that's next week. Spoilers.
Spoilers. Let's end on spoilers.
Best we've ever had.
No, I don't know.
Suki is such a Suki. I don't
nope,
know.
Nope, that's next week.
I'm so confused.
No, it was called. This is probably spoilers. Never mind.
Yeah, don't do it.
See you in a week.
Nope. See you in a week. Okay, yeah. That's what did I even say?
See you.
I don't remember.
You said that next week.
Yeah.
That's my favorite.
I don't remember what we talked about on this one.
I don't either. That's why I'm really confused.
We did worse Mako stuff, I think, on this one. Yes.
We hate Mako.
You know what?
CGI.
My sister got me this water bottle, right?
Yeah.
It's basically like a glorified sippy cup.
That's good.
I just have to can we end on Sam's sippy cup?
No, we cannot. Yes. Cannot end
yeah,
on
it's basically, it has like a little sippy thing, and it's basically.
How about get out of town?
We did reference that on this one. Okay, that's yes. That's fine. That gets end on. Anyway, thanks for listening, guys. 1, 2, 3. Get out of town.
Get out of town.
Get out of town.